have opportunity to go away and preach somewhere else. And this past weekend, we were in Tennessee, and they were celebrating their 125th anniversary. And we just had a wonderful experience there. And it's always comforting to know that back home, you've got competent people taking care of you. And I know Herman had some issues last week, but true to his faithfulness and desire to serve God, did an outstanding job. And so I'm privileged to stand here because I need you to know that I am parenthetically held up by a pope and a priest. And this morning, Alan did an outstanding job in a presentation about elders, and you know, Herman does just a very, very credible job. And so, the pressure's on me, but I appreciate my brethren and appreciate the work that people do, and it's just a joy to be a part of a family that is like that. We seem a little decimated this morning, a little down. Maybe it's because the weather changed all of about 50 degrees in one day yesterday. And, you know, we're not yet used to this nice cold weather. Whoever says it's nice and cold is the same people who invented that saying that when you get older in life, it's your golden years. They really don't know what they're talking about, do they? Anyway. We're looking at relationships, and the last 2 weeks when I was here, we spoke about relationships, and we spoke about our relationship with God, and we spoke about our relationship in Christ and the value that we have. And today we're going to be talking about our relationships that we have one with another. This past Wednesday was a beautiful illustration and a classical point that really reveals what we're talking about in terms of relationships. Have you ever noticed that when you go somewhere different, that you identify with some people, maybe you're attracted to them, and you start talking, and invariably the conversation goes about, well, where are you from, who do you know, and you try to connect with somebody from where they were so that there's some sort of bond, there's some sort of connection that flows into place. Well, this past Wednesday was a classical illustration. We had a young couple that came to visit with us from Kansas. They had recently graduated from a preacher training school and were here for a funeral, but he was starting his first preaching job in, I believe it was Augustus in Kansas. I may be corrected on that. But it was interesting that as we were talking, I noticed that she had a funny accent. She was from Perth, Australia, and she didn't speak like the rest of us. And so I began to question her, and I have some good friends from South Africa who live in Perth, and the church in Australia is not as prolific as the churches here in the States. And so I asked her, I said, do you know George Funk? And she says, yeah, you know, she knows him. And she doesn't know him that well, but she knows his son, who's married to one of her best friend's friend. You know how it goes. And I thought that was interesting. And then she knew some other people that I knew in Australia. And it's just kind of comforting to know that you have that connection. And then I overhear this conversation that Herman is having with her husband, Jess. And he's out of Colorado, and so all of a sudden I'm hearing Herman connecting with him about people that he knows at the preacher training school where he's at, and so that bond and that connection goes on. And I think that is so typical of all of us that subconsciously we're wanting to find some sort of attachment, some sort of connection within the body of Christ that allows us to have a comfort zone or a platform of confidence that allows us to move on. And so when I look at that, to me, it is absolutely no surprise that God designed our need as He sat down and put our whole design process together, and this is not working. You want to push the button, please? Thank you. I don't know why it's not working. When I go like this, when I wave to you, Judy, that means hit the button, okay? So it's no surprise to us that God, in His incredible design of the creation of human beings, designed us with the ability to have relationships. We see that happening right in the Garden of Eden, there with Adam and Eve, where they had a relationship. And what we're talking about in terms of relationships, when we're speaking biblically, we're talking more than just a casual acquaintance. You know, it's not just what we've come to understand as relationships in our society. And so this design is seen in us as we observe our natural bent in life, and even as we look back historically, that God has created us with a need for attachments, with a need for relationships one with another. And Scripture reveals to us very clearly that these relationships, or these attachments as they are brought about by a stage-specific development in our lives. And what I'm talking about there is just like, you know, when we're born into this world, we're not totally competent to engage in in-depth conversations with people, but there are developmental stages that we go through as a natural consequence of growing up that brings us to a point of maturity. Not all of us attain that point of maturity, as we know, but there are stage-specific areas that we need to go through to get there. And so it's just like walking or talking or learning to eat and things like that. It is with us, within us, this ability for us to be able to engage in conversation so that we can have these relationships or these attachments in our lives. Let me give you a Bible passage that looks at that. If you would advance the slide. There in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 2 and verses 12. Are we going to get there? Yeah, there we go. It's working. Thank you. If you notice here in 1 John 2, you know, he says, I'm writing to you, dear children, and I highlighted this. This is not biblical highlight. I highlighted because I want you to see this. Because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And so what he's doing is he identifies with us in this passage of Scripture that children, fathers, and young men are all at different stages. Children are children because they haven't yet learned things. Fathers are fathers because they are older, more mature, and they can instruct the children. Young men are young men because they think they can fight the whole world, and they haven't yet learned to overcome the evil one. And so there's stage-specific areas in our development that give us an insight into the relationships or the attachments that we have. And so often I think we need to figure out for our own selves just exactly where we are in our development. Once we get to that point in our lives where we can consciously understand our mental developmental process, then we can figure out, okay, where am I? You know, where do I need to go? What are the areas that I need to pay attention to develop? Not everybody gets to that point when they think about those things. Certainly I don't, because I'm more of a random type thinker, as I know that there's others of you like that. But some of you are analytics, and so you just eat the stuff up. But we need to understand where we are and how we're going. And so we need to understand, no matter what level of relationship, or no matter who we are in terms of how God has created us with our personality types and all of that sort of stuff, we need to understand our needs for relationships. Because they are fundamental to our development in all aspects of life. But really, what it's talking about, what Scripture is talking about, is something deeper than relationships. It's an attachment, and I'll speak about that later on. But these attachments that I have, and this is important that we understand this from the beginning, because these attachments or these relationships that we have are fundamental for us to be able to fulfill our purpose in God. Fundamental to that. Because if we don't have relationships one with another, How in the world are we going to be able to share the hope that we have in Christ? Because it happens through relationships. And so these relationships, these attachments that we have, are fundamental to our spiritual development and to the growth or the development or the extension of God's kingdom here on earth. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, the Bible says, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him," of God, "who works all things according to the counsel of His will." And so, these are just some passages of Scripture that indicate to us that there is reason behind our need for relationships. In the book of Romans, Paul speaks to the Roman church in chapter 8 and verse 28, and he says, "And we know that for those who love the Lord, those who love God, all things work together for good." There's purpose in God living within us. And especially, Romans 8:28 concludes, "For those who are called according to His purpose." So it's interesting that all of this stuff connects in together when we look at it from the big picture, from a relationship perspective. So what are we talking about when we're talking about relationships? What are we talking about in terms of attachments? You know, I looked at the Bible, and I tried to find a Bible dictionary that would give us a definition. I looked at Webster's and all those different things. And this is the definition that I came up with. Attachments is speaking about the ability to relate dependently to others. And this is a natural part of who we are, created in the image of God, that allows us to share intimate relationships that we have because of God, and we're able to share because of that how God helps us through His Son Jesus. See, it all connects in. There's purpose to what we do. It's not that we're just wanting to speak fancy words and talk about things that, you know, maybe are behavioral aspects that we need to be aware of. But there is a need for us to understand this. And so, from a biblical perspective, what we're talking about in terms of relationships, and I prefer the word attachments, is we're not just talking about hanging out with one another. We're not just talking about those casual opportunities that we have to talk about football or motor racing or arts and crafts or stuff that socially engages us in activities one with another. We're talking about something that is far deeper than that. It's the ability that it gives us to talk about love and needs in life. It takes us beyond that superficial level. So even when we go back way in the Old Testament and we look at some of the wisdom spoken in the Old Testament, we realize there that God speaks to us about the need for us to be bound together. One of the passages that oftentimes we refer to, and most everybody at least knows about it, is found in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 4, and about verse 19, 11, 12 down there, where it speaks about the fact that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When we're connected together, when we're attached to one another because of the bond of the love of God within us, it gives us far greater strength to overcome no matter what it is down the road. And so that's foundational to this whole concept about relationships and attachments. There is one constant that when we look at this, that kind of comes out of that, that I think all of us need to understand. And I've spoken about it before in the past several times, and you'll hear me talk about it over and over again, and that is this aspect. No matter what part of developmental process we're involved in, it doesn't matter if it's physical, if it's spiritual, if it's intellectual, it doesn't matter what it is, wherever it is, nobody begins to grow and develop any area of life unless they come to the point where they experience that which is happening. You know, we can have all of the intellectual abilities, we can know all of the passages of Scripture we want to know, but unless we experience it, unless we put it into practice, we will not learn it. We will be able to regurgitate it. We will be able to tell people, well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that and you have to do this and you have to do that. But when people look at you, they don't see any authenticity in your lifestyle or abilities. We have to experience it ourselves. Because that experience that we have in whatever aspect it is, whether it's in learning to walk, whether it's in learning to talk, whether it's in learning to eat, whether it's some intellectual enterprise, no matter what it is, unless we internalize it, it never becomes mine. I have no ownership of it. And it's certainly far from authentic in my life. And so to this end, you know, we look at passages of Scripture, and one of the passages of Scripture that I think really highlights this is found in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 17, where we're told that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that when we are being rooted and grounded in love because of faith, and when we look at the words rooted and grounded in love, they are action words. They are experiential words. They're not just intellectual content. And so when we're being rooted and grounded in love, then that begins to become a part of our own self. Because now we're able to comprehend the length and the breadth and the height and the degrees of God's love. Because we've experienced it. Now we'll be able to go beyond that which is just on the surface, and we're able to experience the surpassing love of God in an understanding that is beyond just the human physical, because we understand the depth of God's love and abilities in our own lives. And so when we look at that, biblical teaching really substantiates, no matter what it is that the psychologists and sociologists come up with. And they tell us that there are two areas in our lives that are absolute detriments, or they are huge problem areas that hinder people in their developmental process of relationships or attachments. And so how does this all relate to what we're talking about in terms of church? As I said earlier on, we need to understand that if our relationship, if our attachment to God, if our attachment to one another is fragmented, it inhibits our ability to fulfill our purpose in God. And our purpose in God is to honor and glorify Him and to share His message with others. That's what it's all about, right? And so that happens through relationships, or I prefer to use the word attachments in the context of what we're talking about. And so Scripture, or the psychologists in the world of behavioral sciences, believe that there are two areas that absolutely hinder that. And the first area that they speak about is the aspect of isolation. And that one shouldn't be there. Isolation is when we block other people out of our existence. We tune them out. We act like they don't even exist. We don't care what they think. We don't care what they say. We have no desire to engage with them. Now, we'll be polite because we're Christians and we're children of God. And we'll say, oh, how are you? Oh, wow, wasn't that a great football game on Sunday? Oh, did you see this and this at the craft show that I went to? And we'll have that small talk conversation that really has very little impact in terms of who we are or what we're about. And we isolate ourselves. We set up these boundaries around us that negates the opportunity for anyone to get close to you. And we think we're protecting ourselves. And so we run and we hide from human intimacy and contact. And that's one way that we do it. There's another aspect of isolation that I want to talk about in just a moment, and that involves ourselves being involved in so much activities that we're so busy that nobody can get close to us. And we protect ourselves by being busy. But in terms of isolation, isolation is so basic. And it's such a good defense mechanism in our lives. And it creates an inability for someone to share needs. Now stop and think for a moment about how this affects our relationship with God. And stop and think for a moment about how often we have used the excuse, or we hear people saying, you know what, I'm just not evangelistic. I just cannot talk to anybody. I don't know how to do it. Does this fit into that? Does it make sense? I know that we all have needs to retreat into our cave every now and again. In fact, you know, the popular thought today is, you know, this is a man's cave. And, you know, us men have little rooms with our big screen TVs, and the channel is just programmed to have sport on and nothing else. And that's our man. You know, we all have needs to do that. But do something mentally for a moment. And you can do it, because you all can do more than one thing at a time. Think about the life of Christ. Now, Jesus had a healthy life, didn't he? I mean, he is the epitome of health. Can you see the contrast in his life in the times when he needed his Gethsemane, where he needed privacy and intimacy and being by himself? And now can you see him in intimate, deep conversation with Peter, James, and John, the three apostles whom he loved and he shared the most intimate of things with? See, even in the life of Jesus, the things that we're speaking about are modeled very clearly for us to see. And so isolation is the aspect that disables us, not only from not being able to reach out and trust and engage in healthy relationships with other people, but isolation is that which inhibits our own development toward maturity. It's a huge hindrance to our ability to be able to continue on the work of Christ that he has given us to do. So the second thing, when we look at that, tied into isolation, is addiction and compulsion. And when we look at that, what we're really talking about is we're talking about bondage. And that's a word that we really don't like to talk about in the church, isn't it? Because, you know, that smacks of Pentecostalism or the charismatic people, you know, bondage and spiritual stuff and spiritual warfare, and we're really not comfortable talking about that. But really what we're talking about is the reality that if we're in bondage, it can be good and it can be negative. If you have your Bibles open, Ephesians chapter 2 is a passage of Scripture that is one among many that speak about this whole concept of bondage. And what we're talking about is an addiction or a compulsion. You know, I'm addicted to watching sport on television. Therefore, on Sunday when my NFL football team is playing, I am addicted to watching that, and I choose to watch that rather than to engage in some spiritual activity, be it worship or be it visiting with somebody or whatever. I would choose to do something other than to honor God. That's what we're talking about, a bondage, an addiction or a compulsion that causes me to make choices other than honoring God, where it's purely selfish. And so Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about the fact that when we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, in which we formerly walked, and it's interesting language there, according to the course of the world, because that's where we were once bound in sin. I think Mark had an excellent illustration in the table this morning when he spoke about Israel was set up a celebration after they came out of bondage in Egypt. A powerful continuation for that is we celebrate the Lord's Supper every Sunday because we're celebrating the fact that we have come out of bondage to sin and we're now in Christ. Can you see the parallels? And so, you know, Scripture speaks to us about that. The prince of the air controls the airways. And we need to understand that. And so we make choices to be involved in spiritual activities that set us at odds with the world and the lusts and the bondage that we're held into because of our lusts, our personal lusts. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about that. Read the text. You know, and our personal ambitions, our personal desires, our personal needs. I want it for me. It's mine and I want it now. It's such a mature statement, isn't it? I can do it myself. I don't need your help to put my shoes on. Such powerful, mature language, right? And so when we translate that into the world that we're living in, we can see that. And so the Bible teaches that there's both good and bad bondage. And when we're bound to Christ, when we're addicted to Christ, when we are compulsively involved in the activities that God calls us to be involved in, that's a good thing. Now, sometimes the good thing can go overboard. Yesterday morning at our men's meeting, we had an intriguing discussion about, what was it, Mark? Manure heaps. And if you want to know about that, speak to Mark, and I'm sure he'll be happy to tell you about it. But, you know, and so we can become an odor to people if we don't use the power that God gives us. And so we need to understand that. And so when we look at all of these concepts and we understand all of the stuff about relationships and about being attached to one another, we begin to recognize that, oh wow, do I have any hope through this stuff? You know, it suddenly just gets draining and I think, wow, you know, do I have to know all of that stuff? You know, how is it possible for me even to get beyond that? Well, here's the good news. And I want to share the good news with you. Because the good news is the Bible tells us that we have a friend in Jesus. Not an acquaintance. Not somebody who we just hang out with and talk about football or crafts or motorsports or whatever. But we have a friend in Jesus with whom we can share our deepest needs. Now here's a caveat, beloved. If we're going to experience our relationship with Jesus, that means He does things in our lives. Right? Now if we don't believe that, then we might as well just throw the Bible out. Because if God does not have an active, practical, experiential relationship with us, now I'm not talking about, you know, all of a sudden I can lay my hands on somebody and somebody's leg goes 2.5 inches. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about overcoming bondage, overcoming sin that is in my life. I'm talking about overcoming fears that drive me to isolate myself from other people so that God cannot be seen through my life. That's what I'm talking about. And if we have a friend in Jesus, He becomes the prime example of what relationships is all about. Because I'm attached to Him. And if I'm His friend, He's attached to me. And when I face a crisis in my life, He can help me. And if I don't believe that, then He's not a friend. He's an acquaintance. And I have isolated Him from my life. We all know that when we face a crisis, we cannot heal ourselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. There's lots of people who tried. There's some of you here in the audience this morning who tried to heal yourself by yourself. All I need is the Bible, and I can read the Bible, and the Bible tells me what to do, and I can do it. I can show you a string of tombstones of people who have tried to do it by themselves. We need physical flesh. We need someone or something that is tangible that helps us to understand, because we're human. And we have this desire, and we're created with this need to have relationships and to have attachments with one another. And if we don't have them with brethren, then we will attach ourselves to people in the world, and the advice and the guidance that they give us is not directed towards God, but it's directed away from God. Because you're either for Him or against Him. There's no sitting on the fence. So we need to understand the implications of what we're talking about. And so people who are harsh and hard and critical and perfectionists in everything, and I mean everything. I'm not just talking about people who are perfectionists. I appreciate those people because I'm not, and I need those people to help me stay on track. But if you're in the company of somebody who has always got all of the answers for everything, it's not long and you don't want to be in their company anymore, isn't it? Because it's just a lot of hoo-ha. It's just hot air. And so, you know, we're talking about real stuff. Stuff that is meaningful. Trying to get close to people who know all of the answers is like trying to embrace a porcupine with all of its quills out. It doesn't happen. And that's why God calls us and provides us with the power to be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient people. People who are kind-hearted. People who are just down-to-earth good people who are faithful to God. People who are gentle and self-controlled in any type of environment. That's who we're called to be. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Have a look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23. If the Spirit of God indwells us, then He empowers us to become those types of people. Beloved, we cannot do it by ourselves. We are dependent upon God. And the more dependent we are on Him, the more addicted we become to Him, and the more compulsive we are to do the good things and not the bad things. And that's how it happens. We become those type of people when we risk ourselves and we put our hands into the hands of the one who created the world. We trust Him. Even though it makes no earthly sense, we trust Him. Jesus speaks about this in Matthew chapter 5, and we don't have time to read the whole of the fifth chapter of Matthew. But if you read through the fifth chapter of Matthew, it's what we call the Beatitudes. I like to call them the becoming attitudes. This is who we become if we follow Christ. And as He speaks to us about these becoming attitudes, He speaks to us about becoming disciples in the world. And what do we look like in the world? And He describes that to us through this fifth chapter. And He speaks to us about being the salt and the light of the world, that people can see who we are. And what it's talking about, beloved, is talking about developing personal relationships, attachments, so that people can experience God through us. That's what it's talking about. So here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. If you are serious about following God, then I challenge you to read the fifth chapter of Matthew every day this week. Take you about 5 minutes to read through it. Maybe a bit longer if you want to meditate on the words. But I challenge you to read the fifth chapter and understand who God wants you to be. And then tell me next week what happened in your life. Ah, Jeff, I never came to church to have homework. You serious about God? Or is our relationship with God just a matter of convenience? You know, I'll go to church when it's convenient for me to do that. Or, you know, I'll go do that if it's convenient. You know, I've got something else going on. No, I don't want to do that. I'd rather do something else. If you're serious, turn it over to God and see what He does in your life. You don't have to believe me. Go check it out for yourself. Try a little bit of experiential Christianity and see what happens. And so I challenge with God is that we turn our lives over to God and we allow Him to encourage us to develop these attachments, these relationships with one another. And if we have those relationships with ourselves within this family, then our relationship with God will go beyond the brick and mortar of this building. And it'll go out to the community. And we won't have to have a program to tell us how to do it. We will do it as a natural consequence of who we are. And the excuse is, well, I don't talk to people. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. You know, one of those excuses will fall by the wayside. We can find those meaningful relationships. And when we find those meaningful relationships, then we become the people that God really wants us to be, complete with our imperfections that are made perfect in Him. That's the hope that we have in Christ. And then no matter what I do, no matter where I am, I do all that I do to bring glory and honor to God. And I fulfill my purpose in life. Nothing is more satisfying than knowing at the end of the day, I have fulfilled my purpose before God. And I can sleep with a clear conscience. Clear mind gives me clear hands. Or clear hands give me clear mind. Whatever way you want to go about it. But beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning, if our relationship with God is not according to biblical teachings, where it goes beyond just the trivial things that we call relationships, if our relationship with God is not an attachment to Him, then we're missing the mark. I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell because of that. What I'm saying is you're missing the mark. And you're only licking the first 3 or 4 licks of the ice cream and you're leaving the rest in the cup. That's what you're doing. But if you're like me, you want to have the whole enchilada. I wouldn't even let the dogs lick my cup out because I want to have it all myself. You know, and that's what it's about. You know, do you want to be filled up with Christ or not? So that's the challenge this morning. You know, next week we're going to look at our relationship with the community that we live in. And so what I want you to understand, as we've looked at relationships, we've looked at our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ and what He's given us and who we've become. And this morning we've looked at our relationship with one another because of our relationship with God and because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now next week we're going to look at our relationship with the community and what that looks like because of what we've spoken about for the last 3 weeks. I hope today that you've been encouraged and inspired by what you've heard and seen and experienced. not only in Bible class, in our singing, in our prayers, in the Lord's table, and in what we do and who we are, because there is nothing in this world that is any more important than your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If we can help you, if you have a need for anything for us to help you with this morning, won't you come, Mr. Gant? We stand as we sing.